Arithmetics diagram. The Ballantine defense. Two outer lines of warding help defense the arithmetist's flanks, while also herding enemy chalklings out away from the main circle. A star pattern is often used in arithmetic sketches to indicate a bind point for a defensive chalkling. Note the lines of forbiddance drawn inside the circle, but not crossing. They are used to stabilize the otherwise movable line of warding. Straightforward and quick, the Ballantine defense is one of the more popular defenses built off the four-point circle. It features basic stability lines, along with defensive features in only the most vital locations. It is favored by aggressive duelists. Chapter 4. Joel left Professor Layton's lecture hall, stepping out onto the grass. A girl in a white skirt and a gray sweater sat outside, back to the brick wall of the building, sketching idly in her notebook. She looked up, curly red hair bouncing as she inspected Joel.
"Oh, is he done with you?"
she asked. Joel nodded.
"Well, you're still in one piece," she said. "I guess that's a good sign. No bite marks, no broken bones."
"You were waiting for me?" Joel asked, frowning.
"No, silly," she said. "Professor Boring asked me to stay and talk to him once he was finished with you. Probably means I'm failing. Again."
Joel glanced at her notebook. He'd watched her all semester, imagining the complex, arithmetic defensive circles she was drawing. On the pages, however, he didn't see lines of warding, forbiddance, or even any circles. Instead, he saw a picture of unicorns and a castle.
"Unicorns?" he asked.
"What?"
she said defensively, snapping the notebook closed. "The unicorn is a noble and majestic animal."
"They aren't real."
"So?"
she asked, standing with a huff.
"You're an arithmetist," Joel said. "Why waste your time drawing things like that? You should be practicing your arithmetic lines."
"Rhythmatic this, rhythmatic that," she said, tossing her head.
"Protect the kingdom, keep the wild chalklings at bay. Why does everything have to do with rhythmatics? Can't a girl spend some time thinking about something else once in a while?"
Joel stepped back, surprised at the outburst. He wasn't certain how to reply. Arithmetists rarely spoke to ordinary students. Joel had tried to talk to some of them during his first few years of classes, but they'd always ignored him. Now one was talking to him. He hadn't expected her to be quite so annoying.
"Honestly," the girl said, "why do I have to be the one to deal with all of this?"
"Because the master chose you," Joel said. "You're lucky. He only picks fewer than one in a thousand."
"He obviously needs better quality control," she said.
Then, with a melodramatic sniff, she turned and pushed her way into Professor Layton's classroom. Joel stared after her, then shook his head and crossed campus. He passed groups of students running toward the Spring Rail station. Classes done, it was time to go home for the day. But for Joel, campus was home. A group of students he knew stood on the quad chatting. Joel strolled up to them, half lost in thought.
"I think it's unfair," Charlington said, folding his arms as if his opinion was the only one that mattered. "Professor Harris was furious when she didn't show up for her final, but the principal brushed it off."
"But she's an arithmetist," Rose replied. "Why would she want to get out of the test anyway?"
Charlington shrugged.
"Maybe she had to get a head start on summer."
Joel had been paying only vague attention to the conversation, but he perked up when they mentioned arithmetists. He moved over to Davis, who, as usual, stood with his arm around Rose's shoulders.
"What's this?" Joel asked.
"One of the arithmetist students, a girl named Lily Whiting," Davis said. "She skipped her history final today. Chuck's missing a gear about it. Apparently he wanted to take the final early so he could join his family in Europe, but he was refused."
"They shouldn't get special treatment," Charlington said.
"She'll probably still have to take the test," Joel said. "It's not like their lives are easy. No free periods, starting early each day, staying in school through the summer."
Charlington frowned at him.
"Trust me, Charlie," Joel said. If something took her away unexpectedly, she's not off lying on a beach having fun. She might be in Nebraska.
I suppose, Charlie said. Yeah, you might be right.
He paused, fishing for something. Joel.
Yeah, Joel, I knew that. Well, you might be right. I don't know. Professor Harris was sure upset. I just think it's strange is all.
A few other students reached the quad, and Charlington joined them, moving off toward the Spring Rail station. Joel could vaguely hear him begin telling the same story to them.
I don't believe it, Joel said softly.
What? Davis asked. About that student?
About Charlington, Joel said.
We've been in classes together for 3 years, and he still forgets my name every time we talk.
Oh, Davis said. Don't worry about him, Rose said. Charlington doesn't pay attention to anyone who doesn't have a chest worth staring at.
Joel turned away from the retreating students. Have you picked your summer elective yet? He asked Davis.
Well, not exactly.
Davis was the son of a professor and, as such, lived on campus like Joel. In fact, he was the only other child of an employee that was around Joel's age. Most of the children of the staff went to the public school nearby. Only the children of professors attended Armedius itself. Well, them and Joel. His father and the principal had been close before his father's accident 8 years ago.
I have a kind of crazy idea, Joel said, about my elective. You see,
he trailed off. Davis wasn't paying attention. Joel turned to see a group of students gathering at the front of the office.
What's that? Joel asked.
Davis shrugged.
You see Peterton there? Shouldn't he be on the 315 back to Georgia Bama?
The tall senior was trying to peek through the windows.
Yeah, Joel said.
The door to the office opened and a figure stepped out. Joel was shocked to recognize the man's sharply militaristic trousers and coat, both navy with gold buttons. It was the uniform of a federal inspector. The man placed a domed police hat on his head, then bustled away.
A federal inspector? Joel asked. That's strange.
I see police on campus now and then, Rose said.
Not an inspector, Joel said.
That man has jurisdiction in all 60 aisles. He wouldn't come for nothing. Joel noticed Principal York standing in the doorway to the office, Exton and Florence visible behind him. He seemed troubled.
Well, anyway, Davis said, about summer elective.
Yeah, Joel said, about that.
Davis shuffled. Joel, I'm not going to be spending the summer with you this year. It turns out I'm not free.
Not free? What does that mean?
Davis took a deep breath.
Rose and I are going to be with the group Michael is taking this summer. To his summer home, up north.
You? Joel said. But you're not one of them. I mean, you're just...
like me.
Michael is going to be an important man someday, Davis said. He knows my father has been preparing me for law school, and Michael is planning to go himself. He'll want help in the years to come. Someday he'll need good attorneys he can trust. He'll be a night senator, you know.
That's great for you, Joel said.
It's a wonderful opportunity,
Davis said, looking discomforted.
I'm sorry, Joel. I know this means you'll spend the summer alone, but I have to go. This is a chance for me. A real chance to move up.
Yeah, of course.
You could ask him if you could come.
I kind of already did.
Davis winced.
Oh.
Joel shrugged, trying to convey a nonchalance he didn't feel.
He let me down easily.
He's a classy guy, Davis said.
I mean, you have to admit everyone treats you pretty well here. You've got a good life, Joel. Nobody picks on you.
That was true. He'd never suffered from bullying. The students at Armedius were too important to waste time bullying. If they didn't like someone, they ostracized them.
There were a dozen little proto-political factions on campus. Joel had never been a part of any of them, even the out-of-favor ones. They probably felt they were doing him a favor. They treated him with civility, laughed with him, but they didn't include him. He'd have traded that for some good old-fashioned bullying. At least that would mean someone considered him worth noticing or remembering.
"I've got to go," Davis said. "Sorry."
Joel nodded, and Davis and Rose jogged off to join a group gathering around Michael near the station. With Davis gone, Joel really was going to be spending the summer alone. His grade was practically empty. Joel hefted Professor Fitch's books. He hadn't meant to take them in the first place, but he had them, so he might as well put them to some use, as the library wouldn't lend arithmetic texts to ordinary students. He went looking for a good place to read, and to think.